Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Kathy Anderson in this morning from Empower House, empowerhouseva.org. If you want to check out all the good work that they do dealing with domestic violence in the area. Kathy, it is good to have you sitting across from me this morning. Good morning.
I can't believe it. Good morning.
It's been a while since we have done a show, and this is our annual Empty Bowl show, because the Empty Bowl is just one of the great fundraisers, and really a way you can impact the work of Empower House in the area, and it is coming up on February the 1st.
You've got it. I don't even need to be here.
That's it. We'll just move on to some other things.
You but got it.
It is what makes it so great is, and I got to experience it last weekend, is the potters in the area make the bowls.
It is so visually stimulating to walk into that big room at the Elks Lodge. Of course, you said it's February 1st and it's timed entry and it starts at noon. To walk into that room and see those tables filled with beautiful, handcrafted, colorful. I mean, you always do that stop motion video and you really get a quick view of how stunning
it is.
That table is.
It is, and they just go fly off the table, and you just keep filling the table up with bowls.
It's a feast for the eyes.
Yeah.
You know, like when you said we just, you know, the bowl-o-rama, like the potters put so much work into those bowls. So it's hard to understand why it's such a big deal. But anyone who has any idea of how you make pottery, like that is, that is a joy of attending this event. Is getting to see the bowls and taking one with you.
Oh, it is. And you learn about, because I have different bowls from some of the different potters that I know. But just the fact that they spend their time and donate their time to donate the bowls. In the Bowl-O-Rama last Saturday, Liberty Town donates the clay for them to come in and make bowls. Some of them do it at their own studio. There's just an understanding with the potters in the area of the importance of Empower House.
They are so generous, and unless they have made some during the year and are donating from their stock, you know, they may spend the entire month of January just
making bowls for you guys,
for charity.
Yeah,
to have this event that raises money for Empower House. And I think, like, for anyone who doesn't know this event, we're kind of, you know, the cart before the horse. I mean, what happens is it's called the Empty Bowl Event. It's the 27th annual. And for this, you know, to have been started, you know, it was a love by the community, and particularly a decision by some of our local potters, you know, Trista Chapman, Phil Chapman, Dan Finnegan, Neil Reed, you know, they all wanted to do this event, this Empty Bowl event for charity. And, you know, they chose Empower House, and that was very much Trista Chapman focused and selected. And you know, it wasn't just Trista, but I think when they talked about, you know, supporting a local charity, one that has a shelter like Empower House does, you know, I think that was near and dear really to all of them from, you know, the relationships over the years, et cetera. So anyway, contributing to charity, contributing to survivors of domestic violence was really the behind this. And they really got a tremendous effort behind them. They said, you know, look, we're going to make the bowls, like, you know, how we're going to pull this off. And so volunteers stepped up and they organized this tremendous event that is so significant today. It was significant when it started in 1999, and to bring people together, people bought tickets for the charitable purpose, people sponsored to make the donation higher and really to raise money for survivors of domestic violence and their children through Empower House. And what happens is folks, when they have their ticket, they come to now the Elks Lodge at a timed, pointed time, and they come in and they select their bowl. Like that, that in itself is an event, right? Selecting
yeah.
the bowl.
It's hard. Oh, it's so hard. Because I end up, whatever I take, very rarely do I pick the one at first, but I see something and I'll think, oh, I like that. And then you go down and you say, oh, I like that one better. So then you put that. And it's really hard because they're all sizes. They're all
some
different
people are
kinds.
Like holding 3 and 4 bowls yeah. before they'll put one back.
I know. Yeah.
I understand that. Yeah, people are, you know, like scanning the table. You know, I mean, for some people, it's like, oh, get a bowl, you know, move on.
And but, some people are like that. I think, like, how can you be like that? And then I become very protective of my empty bowl bowls. I mean, now I've done enough that I've got a stack of them.
Mm-hmm.
And at times it's been suggested to me, well, you know, you could give one of those bowls as a gift. And I'm like, no, I'll go buy a bowl.
Well, can you imagine like, so I know someone who, as you said, had their bowls stacked, you know, collecting them, come to many events. You know, we've been doing it for 27 years.
Right.
Well, one person I know, her cabinetry caved and all the bowls, boom.
And they probably broke.
Yes. Yes.
That's my fear. And I was going to bring that up because now I have now moved them. They're I have them on the counter kind of stacked up
yeah.
because we had that discussion of looking and saying, you know what? There's a lot of bowls there and they're heavy.
You know, on a positive note, she was like, well, I'll just come and get some more. You know, right. Like that was really like, I guess you make what you will out of that tragedy of losing all those bowls.
Yeah, let but that be right. a lesson to you.
Right. I mean, how many bowls do we need? I don't know, but I still want to go to the empty bowl.
I do too. And I don't want to just get a bowl and, you know, mm-hmm. gift it or, you know, donate it to somebody else. No.
No.
I want my bowl.
You said you have your favorites for different things.
Cereal or ice cream or chili or yeah, there's all kinds of different things. That's what
I
makes
mean, there's all sizes, you know, there can be a candy dish, there can be
right.
Some
yeah.
of them are larger. Mm-hmm. As you said, there's I mean, Kevin's making 200 bowls, you said?
That's what he told me.
Wow. Like so, you know, for the event, there's usually 500 tickets sold. So, you know, folks who have their tickets, you know, they come in with their timed entry and, you know, but that's a lot of bowls going off the shelf. It's tremendous, again, what yeah. the potters are donating. You know, we've had potters on the show and we'll have potters again next year on the show. There were a couple that, you know, that for what, you know, not everybody can make it when we make this plan, but we it's incredible to know of their process and to know what inspired them to be potters.
It is, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're going to take a quick break and come back and talk more about this and talk about the work of Empower House in the area. Kathy Anderson here this morning. EmpowerHouseVA.org is the website. Also, there's a lot of good information on Facebook, too. February 1st is the date for the empty bowl, and we'll continue to talk about it when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. Miss a part of the show? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, back to your host, Ted Schubel.
Kathy Anderson here this morning from Empower House as we talk about the Empty Bowl fundraiser that will take place on February the 1st at the Elks Lodge over on Tidewater Trail. So, and this was kind of a thing that you started with during COVID of timed entry, and that it has worked well because yeah. sometimes the line, we would get there really early because the line would be so long.
Well, you know, people back to the bowls, you know, some people thought, oh, get there early, get this, get that, you know, have my seat, have my food, have my bowl. It's all, you know, so the timed entry, one of the things we do is we put bowls out throughout the day. So no one has to fear like, oh, all the bowls will be picked through.
All the good bowls are being gone.
And they're all good. You know, they're all pretty. And so, but we do emphasize now to make sure people aren't nervous about that is we hold back lots and lots of bowls and just like place them out randomly. And yes, that means, you know, there may be a bowl that isn't out yet that you'd really want, but it's okay. It's okay. Just, you know, it is about the bowls, but it's not about the bowls. It is. And so, you know, one of the things we didn't mention was how to get your tickets. So on our website, empowerhouseva.org, we certainly have. It's early in the month still, so got plenty of tickets. Sponsorships are still available. So empowerhouseva.org is where folks can find the Empty Bowl link to learn more about the event as well.
And again, don't wait, though. If you know this is something you're going to do, get your tickets, because sometimes There's only so many bowls, and so there can only be so many tickets. So
many bowls and so many seats, and so So we do sell out most years. I think there may have been a couple of years where we weren't entirely sold out, but by the time, you know, it was all said and done, we, you know, met that goal of all tickets sold. So, yeah, when they sell out early, once those tickets are gone, they're gone. Yeah.
One of the things you pointed out to me one of the early years of us doing this show was the fact this really is the way it falls in the calendar. You haven't seen people, a lot of people. I mean, it really is a kind of a in the winter you don't see as many people, and that's where I see so many people I know at the Empty Bowl.
Absolutely. And then you see like new faces too, or you meet new people.
Yes.
So it's really an interesting event because it is a people watching event for sure. It is a connecting event. You do catch up with people and you also get to meet some new friendly faces. Getting out in the middle of the winter is a little less of a thing, right? So, you know, events are very heavy certain times of years with, you know, graduation and, you know, weddings and other charitable events.
Yeah.
And so this event has been very positive for people attending and wanting to attend, and also, you know, for Empower House, because you do get to, you know, you've gotten through your holidays, hopefully any illnesses that you had, like, you know, it's all over, but you're kind of ready to get back out there. So February 1st, also, we try to pick that date between football games. Hopefully there still is a date between football games. It is on a Sunday. And so we hope that it's a good date for everybody. Yeah.
Again, it is February the 1st, empowerhouseva.org. It is it's a huge fundraiser and really important for the work
financially
that you do.
It's essential. I mean, it was our first big annual fundraiser, and it has grown and been, you know, financially really important in supporting the work. We have struggled like every other nonprofit, and we, and like every other domestic violence center across the United States where there's been federal funding cuts. And so, you know, it's just essential that the funding from our community flows. And without that flow, it impacts survivors directly. If people need help and they can't get help because we just don't have it, that is a life-threatening consequence. So I'm glad you brought up that piece that, you know, supporting charities, supporting Empower House, it's really an important aspect of the Empty Bowl fundraising event. So,
I had not thought about I wasn't even thinking about the federal piece to all of this. And I know as every organization around here has come in and talked about things, it really is. There's so much uncertainty that we're.
Well, there's uncertainty, and then there's past funding cuts as well.
So, yeah, I mean, right.
We came out of some significant ones with the Victims of Crime Act cuts, and then the COVID funds finally ran out. So the ways that there was a patchwork of trying to maintain funding, and now, you know, we're at the place where, you know, there's no batching those things together anymore. So
they're not there.
Yeah. And so it feels sometimes like we're patching together the services that we have and can provide. And we are doing that well. But we also, there becomes a breaking point. And we also have, you know, facilities to run. So our domestic violence shelter is 24/7. It is 365 days a year. There is not a moment in time where we don't have someone supporting folks in our shelter at all times. And that, you know, just, it just costs money. It costs money to keep the lights on, to keep the heating air going, to feed people, to, you know, everything that you can imagine is happening in a facility where people spend the night. So on average, between our shelter and housing programs, it's about 68 people are assisted nightly on average, and more than half of those people are children.
I did not realize that number was that high.
Right. So if you, like, if you look at our shelter, it averages 25 to 30 in a facility that if squeezed to the limit, and that would be difficult to staff it, you know, maybe 40 people could reside, you know, some babies, you know, just depending on the configurations of the families. We try not to have it beyond our capacity, but that is a capacity. But also because we're helping people in their housing, helping them get in and financially and with case management. Yeah, I was just doing that calculation the other day. I was like, okay, it's a big number. Yeah,
that is a very big number. That really surprises me, because I thought this is where I thought, well, I understand this a lot, and but that shows you in this area, and that's just even scratching the surface, probably, of people that do need help.
And people come into shelter in that crisis, and some of those people, although I don't feel like it's the majority of those people, some of those people can then transition to their next place out of crisis. But others need help with housing, and housing is a whole nother conversation that you've probably had on your show lately. But those grants are, you know, struggling right now in terms of the direction. And so we assist, you know, anywhere, you know, sometimes 70 people at one time in our housing program. And that is helping them pay their rent and helping them in a variety of ways so that they will stabilize and maintain on their own by the time the program's finished.
Well, and just to have you here in such a crisis time for these families, and especially for both women and the in children.
It's a different crisis. Like, we notice as employees of our organization than it has been. And that is both because of the critical nature and need of survivors of domestic violence and that kind of getting worse, but then also just the critical need in the community with, you know, with the economy, with the housing shortage, with
just the cost.
Well, and federal programs, you know, the threats to, you know, the food SNAP benefits, which used to be called food stamps, or the threat to other programs, and certainly the housing components. You know, when folks started helping people with rapid rehousing, helping them get in and helping to pay their rent, this was a time when the federal government was cutting back on their, like, vouchers. You know, so the voucher program, that just hadn't, Section 8 just hadn't been, nothing new was happening for so many years, decades. So then, you know, with the rapid rehousing, we have been able to help people. That's helped people. That's helped landlords. Like, everybody, it's been a win. And now, as that is being threatened financially, you know, if those programs aren't continuing or challenged to continue, which is the conversation right now, then we're looking at people being unhoused in much greater numbers that we've never seen before. I don't know if you've done a show on that yet, but yeah, it's a struggle right now.
No, that's, I know that's a big, that's a big mm-hmm. concern, and I didn't know the mm-hmm. the status of that. So that's yeah. interesting that that's out there.
It's playing out in the courts right now, and so we actually don't know what our grants, even though we had been it had been announced previously that there would be 2-year grants. So we were able to enter our contract for 1 year, and now it's very much in flux, and we're kind of like waiting on daily announcements from the lawsuits and things like that. So, yeah, we are very nervous about helping people get into housing if they can't sustain that housing.
That's which what is I was a, just going to ask you.
Well, it's a number of our folks. The reason they go into the housing program is it's difficult to sustain. So the help is there as they work through this over time and land on their feet eventually. So, you know, it is a time limited program. But under this current circumstances, we're so nervous about anyone going in. We need to know that they can't afford their rent, say in 6 months, 5 months, four right. months, 3 months. You know, by the end of our fiscal year, if the grants aren't going to continue, you know, that's a challenge for everyone in that program.
And it's scary to think about what this area can look like.
It's not strictly in Powerhouse either.
No, right. I was just going to say, we're talking right now about in Powerhouse and
Micah and Lois Ann's Hope House. And yeah, all of our programs where people are assisted with rent and other sort of stabilization measures so that they aren't landing without anything, you know, like on the street or, you know, in shelters that are already full. So there isn't really like wiggle room here. I know, we sure got heavy quick.
It did. Yeah. No, but you think, and because I knew that this was in the courts and being played out, but didn't realize, it's out of sight, out of mind, but you're keeping a close watch on it. Because
there was supposed to be some news yesterday, and I have plenty of things to do. I can't. Yeah. Someone's going to let me know probably today where we stand. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So there are things, and that is why then again to why the empty bowl is so important.
Well, any stable funding, any ways that people are helping to minimize and the impacts and maximize the support to ensure these services continue, because really we're talking about survivors of domestic violence and their children, and we're talking about when they need help, they need it critically
right
at that moment.
Then, right, yeah.
And you know, if you think of the impacts, it is the impact directly on their health and safety, their lives. But then you're also talking about the impact on first responders, who if we can't be there to help people, like then more violence is happening and more responses are needed and more dangerous situations that people are responding to, more impacts on social services where folks, you know, if they're not safe and can't find relief, like through our program, you know, then there's just many more impacts.
Kathy Anderson here this morning in PowerhouseVA.org for more information on what they do, how you can get involved with them in a number of different ways, whether it's through the empty bowl or just financially donating or volunteering. In PowerhouseVA.org. More with Kathy Anderson on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is 8:31.
From the Fredericksburg FreePress.com studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. It's the only local talk show in Fredericksburg. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. Subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite streaming platform to hear Town Talk anytime, 24/7, 365. And now, Ted Schubel.
Gabby Anderson in this morning from Empowerhouse, empowerhouseva.org. February 1st is the Empty Bowl, and we'll give you all the details again about how to get involved with the Empty Bowl and just the importance of that. So as we talk about we just finished talking about just some of the things that you're not sure of as far as what Empowerhouse does in the area. You serve a lot. I mean, you serve a lot of people. We've already established that, even more than I even knew.
Well, you know, I think we hit a record high the previous year of serving over 4,100 people. We've never been over 4,000 that I know of in the history. So over 4,100 people, unfortunately. I'm going to say unfortunately, right? And then, you know, we also are in the schools. So over 3,900 youth and children educated. I say and children because we also are speaking to and educating elementary school students. So it's very exciting, the work that we're being able to do.
Oh, it is. And to having a front row seat over the years, Kathy, of seeing you do all of these and have these programs mm-hmm. grow, you do look at those numbers and you think, probably, I'm sure you all look at that and say some of that is just because we are training people. And it's not anymore of like, you know, some of the past thoughts and just in the training that you've done with law enforcement.
Right. I mean, we have such great partners, and those partnerships really pay off in the way that a survivor and their family can navigate and find resources. So find their way to us, or, you know, have a sympathetic, empathetic ear when they disclose, whether that's an organization, an agency, or even a business. It is nice to know that people understand domestic violence much more than was the case decades ago. And that is also a great result for focusing in our community, having an organization like other communities have. I hear, maybe I'm biased, that you know, that we have an especially good organization here in Fredericksburg.
We have to. We do.
We do. When I heard that from an official one time, she's like, oh, my colleagues around the state. You know, we have a pretty special and unique set of services and organization here. And it's the people. Who work for Empower House and who volunteer for Empower House. You know, the community support has been fantastic and continues, and we've just got a great community.
You have, and so many people are so, you've been here and involved in the community. Susan's been involved in the community. Others, you have people here that we recognize of, that's Empower House, that's what they're doing.
We looked at the average number of years of experience across our staff because, you know, we're just always looking at like, well, you know, what's really happening here? And we had an average of over 15 years of experience per employee. You know, so if you look at how long folks have stayed with us and retained their knowledge and their experience and, you know, they're just says that we have really experienced folks who are providing those services, and that makes all the difference when you've got life and death situations that you are helping people navigate through.
Well, and I think too of just how you have the partnerships with Stafford, Spotsylvania, King George especially. You've had some really strong relationships with law enforcement in those areas.
We have, and we have great staff navigating that. You mentioned Susan. You know, our folks who go to court and who spend a lot of time with law enforcement, with our other systems, with the courthouses, you know, these are folks who informing the relationships that have been formed are paving a smoother way, not always a smooth, but a smoother way through the justice system. And I, you know, I have this quote, it's not a quote from our program, but it does encapsulate kind of like what it feels like to go through the court system when it goes well. And our court advocates are helping people with these very processes, and I think it speaks to the value of a domestic violence program. So there was an advocate who said that during a survey day, because there's a point in time survey day across the United States for domestic violence, during the survey day, a survivor received her final protective order and was relieved and grateful. She said, "I feel free. Today I can walk out the front door, I can walk out the back door, I can go to work, and I don't have to fear for my safety. I'm even excited to pay bills. For over 10 years, I never knew how freedom felt."
Wow. And to think that that's how so many people live.
It is astonishing. I mean, you know, we've looked at our numbers and look at law enforcement responding to over 6,500 domestic related calls in a year, and over 10,000 children witness in our community domestic violence in their homes. We don't know the magnitude, and it is shocking to think that this problem is as pervasive as it is. And, you know, certainly working at Empower House, I get that. I know that. That's something
you see it every day.
But it is something challenging to wrap your brain around that it's as big of a problem as it is.
To live every day or even every moment in having to make sure that, you know, you don't say the wrong thing, or just like you say, to fear for your safety.
People are looking for how to avoid an assault. And you mentioned saying the wrong thing. I mean, eventually people learn, hopefully, that it's not related to their own behavior. You know, that is what an abuser wants their partner to believe, that all of the abuse inflicted is because of something that they said wrong or that they did wrong. And, you know, part of Empower House is chatting with folks on our hotline or in person if they drop in, or however folks find their way to us at the courts, maybe. But to begin to learn that it is not a way of life. It is not because of something inherent inside of them that they have been harmed over the years. And when we say harm, we're talking about life-threatening situations. So to be able to come through this and talk to an advocate and learn that this is not normal, that this is something that they don't deserve, and that it isn't something that everybody lives with, because you just don't know when you're isolated in domestic violence.
We have not mentioned, this is how I'm out of
our hotline.
Yeah, the hotline number to have gone 43 minutes into this show without doing this. I'm out of practice.
Like website hotline.
Right. 540-373-9373.
It's a 24-hour domestic violence hotline.
Yeah.
We run and operate 540-373-9373, and it is a lifeline for many folks in our community.
540-373-9373, and it's a good number to know or have on hand in case there's somebody you work with or somebody you know, or if you just suspect things, to give them that number.
Yeah, and Empower House supports all five localities which make up our planning district, and that is Caroline County, King George County, Spotsylvania County, Stafford County, and the city of Fredericksburg.
Again, I just think about living every moment and having to measure your words is just, it's just hard to understand. But like you say, so many people, just the number of people you served, and you know that there's more, there are more people, because the other component that plays into this, housing plays a role in it, or just, yeah, it's not always so easy just to say, I'm not going to take it anymore.
There are so many reasons why people stay in an abusive relationship. We can't even wrap our brains around all of the reasons. They are afraid. They have been threatened. They have children that they want to protect, and they're not sure what the greater protection is.
Yeah.
But there are resources, and people find their way to those resources. And also, it's different for every person about what might be the trigger that allows them to take that step, or to know that that step may be better than what they're living through. Mm-hmm. For a lot of people, it doesn't make any sense. Like, oh, if there's violence, the clear and obvious direction is, yeah, just leave. Like, there's a lot of people that still don't understand that. And it is not that simple. There are so many things, including religion and family values, that people, you know, they want to raise their children in a two-parent household. They want to the abuse to stop, which is a really fair thing to want. I mean, if they had their way,
right,
you know, the abuse would stop. The person who's being abusive in the relationship would figure out that it's really destructive in their own lives and in their family's lives, and that it's, you know, that there are other ways. People navigate these relationships all the time without abuse. And so, you know, we even have a program that helps people go through learning that if they want to do it, and those that want to do it get something out of that program. It's a long program. It's, you know, half a year of, you know, weekly time with other folks, but it's there, it's available. And, you know, it's a shame more people don't take advantage of that.
Is the number still one in four?
Yeah, 1 in 4 women will experience severe violence at the hands of an intimate partner in their lifetime. But for youth, it's 1 in 3. Hmm. And so, you know, that across the lifetime, it averages out to 1 in 4. But that is another scary number, that 1 in 3 for youth. It's one of the reasons why we are so dedicated to educating young people and helping those that care for young people to understand the ins and outs of this. We have, in our school presentations, we've been working a lot with school resource officers. That's been like phenomenal. When we've gone and provided training to the school resource officers, very similar like activities that we do in the classroom, like we get tremendous feedback from them about the things they're seeing in the classrooms and schools, and then they go out and they're ambassadors because they're already seeing it, but this gives them new language and new ways to communicate with young people, and like it really blossoms when we have all these partners.
I hadn't thought of that, but we talked about all the benefits for having the school resource officers. This is another one.
You remember mentioning Susan?
Yeah.
I was Susan's brainchild. Yeah. Getting in front of, you know, we train anyway. We train law enforcement. Mm-hmm. We provide the youth classroom education, but really getting with the school resource officers is just a great way to sort of solidify and make it more across the school awareness.
Is still a need for volunteers?
Still a need for volunteers. We still have our volunteer training 3 times. And one is coming up. So the best way to access it is to fill out the volunteer application online on our website, empowerhouseva.org. And volunteers for lots of different things. Some of it is, you know, events, sort of light, if you will, or, you know, might not be so light depending on how many hours somebody puts in. It can be a lot. But also, but that's a decision a volunteer makes. And then also, you know, directly supporting survivors. We have interns from schools. It's fabulous the way people want to give.
So just all kinds of opportunities, and especially so many people. I guess the other thing to talk about is so many people, you're around people and you may suspect things. And that's where, if you don't know what to say, make the hotline number known.
Make the hotline number known. And I, you mentioned volunteers. I think one of the greatest outcomes of our volunteer program is our long dedication of hours that people put in to learn about domestic violence and learn about the organization and the community. And what we've found is the people who go through our training get such a great education on how to navigate domestic violence. We've heard from people saying, you know, my daughter was going through it, and we really found a way to quickly navigate, like identifying it and navigating away from it, which is a very hard thing to do, especially if you don't know, like, the ins and outs of what's happening. Yeah. It can be very difficult to identify it, to safely address next steps and how to really navigate away from it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and just to be able to put people in contact with you and your the volunteers or the staff, because
all these ambassadors out in the community sharing the phone number. I mean, they don't have to go through our volunteer training to be able to share a phone number. And people may be nervous to know what's going to happen if I broach the subject, if I suspect. And I understand feeling nervous about that. That is, what if I say the wrong thing? And that's, again, why the volunteer program is so valuable. Yeah. But as you said, supplying the phone number, you know, it's confidential and it's free. Like, if people hear nothing else today, the services are free and they are confidential. We're not allowed to talk about people and their circumstances and their situations in any identifying way. So,
and especially if a person's in a situation instead of having just the noise of someone, you know, other people giving their opinions. Well, you know, you got to be careful. You shouldn't do this or you should do that. You know, talk to somebody who's got some training and can guide you.
Right. It's 24 hours. It's free. People can call anonymously. They don't have to give us any personally identifying information. It's, you know, it's low risk among those risks. And we don't do anything with that information. We don't, as you said, I mean, they navigate their situation. And we may be experts in the information, but they are experts of their own situation. And we get that. And so we don't advocate a particular plan. We can give information. We can talk about the risks and talk about safety and you know, what might be some of the ways that proceeds in terms of, But it's, people are worried about disclosing, and I get that, and that's very fair, because letting that secret out means, do I lose some control over how to navigate my safety? So the good thing about calling Empower House is they're not giving up any of their autonomy to make their decisions about when and where and how. And, you know, we're strong advocates of, as you're processing this information, you maybe want to think through what's fair to keep to yourself versus what you feel obligated to share. And so navigating and thinking through plans, it's not a no-brainer. Usually in marriages and couples, you know, people, there's a level of trust and an expectation that people are sharing quite freely. But when you're in domestic violence, it may not be safe to freely share that you're contemplating some changes.
Kathy Anderson here. February the 1st is the empty bowl for Empower House. And when we come back, we'll wrap it up and talk about how you can get tickets and just the importance of being involved with Empower House and the empty bowl. EmpowerHouseVA.org. The hotline is 540-373-9373. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. You can access all episodes of Town Talk online at newstalk1230.net or on your favorite podcast streaming platform. Now, back to your host, Ted Schubel.
Empower House in this morning, Kathy Anderson here, empowerhouseva.org, or the hotline. Again, it's 540-373-9373. And again, Kathy, you just can't emphasize enough that if you suspect or just wondering some of the things that people have said, just give that number out.
It's free and it's confidential.
And it's 24 hours. So there's somebody always there. 540-373-9373. February 1st at the Elks Lodge. It's all timed entry from noon to 4 or 5-ish?
Yeah, 4 or 5-ish.
Okay.
I say 5-ish.
5-ish,
yeah.
That you can do that.
Because our last entry is 3:45. That's why I say 5-ish.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yep. Okay. So that for the empty bowl, you'll walk away with, a big thanks to the Potters in the area.
Big thanks to the Potters. A big thanks to the volunteers, our lead organizers, Liberty Town, Sophia Street Studios, Scarlet Ponds, so many Potters out there who are contributing. Dan Finnegan, like, if they, you know, aren't coming to the lovely help that is being provided by Liberty Town with the clay and the Bolorama and all the firing, then they're contributing, as you said, from their own studios. Yeah.
They all have great stories. I still remember the day where you sat and Trista was here and Trista Chapman told her story, and it made, for me, this whole issue, because you and I had talked many times, but it just became so real. And since then, you have brought people like that.
Yep, as a Potter who understands the mission so well.
Yeah.
Yep. And founder of the Empty Bowl event, supporting Empower House. And, you know, we talked about all the ways that the event itself is supporting Empower House financially, from the ticket sales through the sponsorships, and certainly the Potters making that possible. And it's good for people to know, too, it doesn't take an event to contribute. And we've had very generous donors over the holidays, and we still have our end-of-year campaign open. And we have been trying to raise $125,000. I didn't look at where we're at, but I know we're not there yet. Again, we've had really generous folks who have wanted to help us reach that goal, so it's not too late. It's, I think, the very first thing that people will see when they go to our website. but financially contributing right now cannot be underscored enough how important it is to support your nonprofits. We have had nonprofits go out of business.
I was gonna say close.
Yeah, in the past year.
A couple of them last year that was just
really big ones. Yeah. And so we don't take it for granted. Helping financially is really the best way to help right now.
Kathy Anderson in this morning, empowerhouseva.org or 540-373-9373. That's the hotline number, 540-373-9373. The Empty Bowl on February the 1st. Kathy Anderson, thank you. We'll talk soon.
Thank you, Ted.
That's it. Thank you for listening this morning. We'll see you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite streaming platform. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.